Hello, it's Monday, May 9th, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I am your host, Chris, and this is show number 4. We have an email address set up if you have some questions, comments, or feedback, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. The website to check out is www.dreamstation.cc. We have a couple extra bodies on the panel this week. We have Keith.
Hello.
Ivan.
Yo.
Bob.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
And Phil.
What's up?
Heather doesn't get a mention because she's just listening. Okay, this week, we have some housekeeping to take care of. We're going to have a big, huge Guild Wars talk. We're going to talk about what is the best in-person multiplayer console. The IMEA accepted the Yee bill in California. The UMD format for the Sony PlayStation Portable has been cracked. We have a whole bunch of Xbox 360 news. We get to kind of make fun of Electronic Arts' fourth quarter profit plunges. And the City of Heroes Coliseum has gone live.
Next topic.
There are two contests going on DreamStation.cc right now. We have 3 signed copies of SWAT 4 for the PC. There's also a contest for NBA Street 3 for the Xbox. We have 4 copies of the Xbox game, and we have some t-shirts. Go to the website and enter. It'll be up on your upper right-hand side. I think the contest ends May 22nd.
Next topic.
Since we didn't get to it last week, the first topic of this week is going to be Guild Wars.
The humans are on the brink of extinction. Hordes of invading char poised to reap a bloody swath for the remaining inhabitants. Our only choice? Kill each other. Skirmish and die for the last remaining shreds of wealth as the enemy easily picks off our outlying villages. The game you're not even sure you're playing. Guild War.
That was my kind of little fake promo. I was referring to some of the things that we were talking about throughout the course of this last week, where you're not really sure where you're playing in Guild War as far as if you're in the tutorial, if you're not in the tutorial, what you're actually doing. And we're going to get into it in a little bit here, but the whole promotion of Guild War and how the packaging and the marketing was laid out, it didn't really lead us to believe that it was primarily a PvP game. One thing I want to say right up front is that it's impossible to review a multiplayer massive online game after only a week or two of playing it. So what we're going to try and do is give you our impressions so far. So we're going to get into what we do like and what we don't like about it. It's an instanced, massively multiplayer online game. So we bought the game, we installed it, we jumped into the game, and then we noticed there was only 2 party slots. There was, what, 4 of us, I think, the first night? There was only 2 people allowed in the party. Turns out that you're in a tutorial and you're not even aware you're in a tutorial. Nobody tells you that it's a tutorial mode. Once we figured this out, just skipped over the tutorial and got into the real game. That ticked everyone off. After that, it got a lot better. It's skill-based, so what they're trying to do is they don't want it to be all playtime. If you've played 90 hours and your guy's level 15 and somebody else has only played 10 hours, they don't want you to automatically win because you've spent more time in the game. I think that's a good idea. One of the ways they do that is you have 8 skill slots. Those skill slots can be changed out back at town to take skills from your primary and your secondary class. Speaking of the classes, there's the warrior, pretty self-explanatory. There's a ranger, who's kind of like a hunter in World of Warcraft. You have bows, and you charm pets and animals, and you have an elementalist, who's really pretty much a mage. They shoot fire and ice. There is a necromancer, pretty much straight out of Diablo 2. Summon animated dead creatures, steal life from other enemies to heal yourself. There's a mesmer, who's like an illusionist. They have psionic kind of spells. They have mind control spells. And there's a monk, who is pretty much like a fighting priest. They have all your heals, buffs, debuffs. What we're kind of finding out is that as you go along, the game is really tailored towards PvP. As you level along, you pick up new skills and new weapons and new equipment. In reality, those new skills, weapons, and equipment are to be used when you hit the end game where you're doing player versus player and guild versus guild. Normally, you got 4 players in a party when you're doing quests. When you're doing a guild war, hence the name, you have 8 people per side fighting in kind of a mission-based arena.
Unfortunately, due to the nature of the game, all of the pros are kind of pointless. There's all these cool features of the game. The game is amazingly fun when you're doing all these missions and you get these new skills and you desperately try and find people to give you missions so that you can get new skills. But it turns out that it doesn't matter anyway because the whole, like we've said, the whole point of this game is to prepare you for the PvP stuff. It doesn't matter how good the non-PvP stuff is. It's almost like there's no point in actually playing that part because there's a lot of good things about this game.
I'd love to say it, what a nice and convenient it is with just the little stuff like being able to click on somebody's name and you automatically pathfind to them so you don't got to find them, and like all the little missions are completely instanced and you don't have to worry about people camping your items, and oh, that's such a joy compared to World of Warcraft or an EverQuest. It reminds me a lot of Tekken 4 and like, all right, let's all sit down and play Tekken 4 and you plug it in and there's 4 guys to pick from. but unfortunately we're all sitting there and want to play now, and they just love to make you unlock things, and this is what this feels like. It, all right, well, you're just going to unlock the real game. I mean, honestly, the whole point of the game is PvP. I'd rather just start off PvP, so I'm not misled by the rest of the game.
That was my biggest problem with this game, is we got into the beta. Everybody described this game as kind of Diablo 3. I mean, it's made by some of the guys that left Blizzard, went on to make Guild Wars. Now, you know, okay, maybe stupid us, we didn't realize Guild Wars, that it kind of insinuates a whole PvP mentality. The friggin' box of the game kind of pimps it as a player versus environment or player versus player game. You can do either or. But in reality, all of that is just junk that's preparing you for the end game, which is all player versus player. And late in the game, there's no reason to go get quests aside from, like Ivan said, getting new skills.
There's all these different skills, and I was reading later on, there's all these elite skills that are just amazingly powerful things. And from what I've read, the only way to get those elite skills is to do really well in PvP. Like, if your guild is just amazingly awesome and wins all these guild wars, you get all these elite skills. If you're not into playing PvP, that means you're never going to get these skills. There's no point to using those skills unless you're doing PvP.
And now, I'm also curious to see how it's going to pan out as far as, what if you're in our guild? We have four people, and we'll have to, if we even want to do a guild war, we have to probably recruit people we don't know, and the fact that all our guys aren't even spec'd for PvP, and we just, like, pick something that might be fun. So what happens if we just get our kicked all the time, and we never get the elite skills, and we end up fighting all these guilds that do have the elite skills? It just seems like we'd get crushed all the time.
All right, I grabbed my box, so let me just look at my box here. Free online play. This you play for free, which is cool. You just install the game, you pay your $50, and you can play forever.
That was a big selling point of this game.
Craft your hero. You can make your avatar from over 30 different profession combinations, hundreds of unique skills that combine for escalating power.
You're going to want to make a hero that looks pretty cool and fits your game style.
The thing is, you can't, really. You can to a certain extent. There's maybe three or four different hairstyles you get to pick from, maybe five or six hair colors. Picking a face, a hair color, and a hairstyle, and that's the extent, really, of customizing your guy. All the armor and weapons are found in the early game, or you can craft them. But to be completely honest, I think, Ivan, what are you, level 12, maybe? And you look like every other ranger I've ever seen in the game, right?
Right.
You have the same cat that every other ranger has.
Right.
One thing that nobody, I think, has gotten into is their dyes in these games that you can buy to dye your weapons and armor, apply it, and it didn't do anything.
It doesn't really show that big of a difference. If you're wearing a thing of ringmail, then the leather part becomes gray or whatever color you dye it. It's not a very vibrant change.
The next bullet point on the box says it's your adventure. Jump into a world of thousands where each mission is created just for you. That's referring to the fact that it's instance. For those of you who don't know, instance means if you have a party of four and you want to go out and do a mission, when you exit the city, you are kind of teleported into your own little personal board, kind of like Phantasy Star Online. Nobody else can come in or out of your area. So then it says, live a fast-paced adventure without travel time delay. You can bring up the map, and any city you've already been to, you can double-click on that city, and poof, you're instantly warped there. That's really cool. A big problem with even World of Warcraft is you want to go from spot A to spot B. You jump on at night. Well, your friend is over in some city that takes you literally a half an hour, 40 minutes to get to. It's a big pain in the butt. Remember in Final Fantasy, we had to wait for, like, a real-time blimp to come, and it took every 30 minutes it would come?
Yeah, that was a fantastic feature of that game.
I'll see you in 40 minutes. I gotta take the boat.
So they're kind of trying to get a little more casual with that, which we, again, like. There's so many things that we like about this.
With that said, for the map, there is a downside to using the map to either escape or return to a city. If you don't complete the quest, returning to the city will basically restart the quest. Also, if you use the map to return to a city, it will break your group up, and then you have to go to find your friends, which is in a different area or different server.
Sucks. What else is there to say about it? It's annoying.
Well, I think
it's very annoying.
You probably want to explain it a little better.
Because the city is the only thing that really is massively multiplayer. There's different kind of like lobbies where they have numbers.
It's just like a server for World of Warcraft.
It assigns you one. And to add to the party, you have to type out their full name. And Guild War makes you have a first and a second name. So it's always a big pain because you have to type 87 letters.
Yeah, what they tried to do was they tried to make it easier on you by saying, if you're standing next to a person, you can click on that person, and then it pops up in the group, like, do you want to add this person? And you just click the plus sign. Well, that's great. There's no good way to add people into a group. I mean, they have this whole thing where you can have a friends list and a guild list, and it even tells you this person's online, this person is offline. How difficult would it be to implement a system where you open up your friends list, you right-click on it, and say, invite the party? They don't have that. And you're right. Some of the names are, you know, really cool, but they're really crappy to try and type.
Lord Asmodeus of the Deep isn't the easiest thing to type. And then if you have one little word wrong, you got to type it again. And you're like, you know what, Lord Asmodeus, your name is too difficult to be in my party. I'm sorry, you'll have to find somebody else.
The next thing that the box refers to is that you can live without high death penalties. Ivan, you want to hit on that a little bit for us?
There has to be some kind of penalty when you die, or else, you know, there'd be no point in not trying impossible things. They did do it cool in that you accumulate kind of debt where your skills and your fighting power decrease the more times you die, and it stacks. So if you die once, you're down like 15%. If you keep dying, it keeps going up and up. The cool thing is that if you just get so far in debt, you can just say, forget it, I'm going back to town. And once you go back to town, your debt is erased.
The easiest thing to compare that too is, I don't know if anyone's played Asheron's Call or Asheron's Call 2, they had a Vitae, but it was a very annoying thing because you essentially have to fight weaker things the more you die, which give you less experience points. So it really was incentive not to die.
I think with my level 9 necromancer, I had died 3 or 4 times, and I think I was in the negative 67%, which took me from about 220 hit points to about 69 hit points, so it is very costly.
What were you doing that you got 67%? Dude, the highest I've ever been was like 20.
I was trying to talk to a guy to craft some wood or something to get some parchment, and basically my hate...
Such a noble cause.
You just
so
realized
high.
How ridiculous that sounded? I had to go talk to this guy to learn to craft wood so I could make parchment. Just the joys of crafting in MMOs.
All I want to do is make paper. My life for a decent piece of paper. My life again.
Every time I went to talk to this guy to craft something, I just drew like 4 level 4s or something, and I got swamped, which I think is a major problem. You're level 8 or 9. And you get swamped by 4 level 4s and you're dead.
I'm level 12 and I can't handle 4 or 5 level 4s. I should be able to kill those things in 2 or 3 hits and just move along my merry way.
Right.
As level 12, I was getting annihilated by between 4 and 6 things. You can't keep up. They just kill you. And the worst thing is, if you do manage to dig your way out of that kind of fight, you still don't get any experience points for any of them.
If you're not going to get any experience for it, they shouldn't be that hard to kill or flee or something.
I don't remember the last time I went outside to get the paper and 13 million ants attacked me for no reason.
I can. Let me tell you, that was fun.
The next thing it talks about is that you can join with friends or play solo with a band of skilled henchmen. I think skilled is a very aggressive word. If you have no friends and you have no life, or if nobody is on. Okay, fine.
This coming from the guy who's doing the podcast.
You're here.
So if you don't have anybody that you can join with, they have henchmen. They're just standing there. They have a think a warrior, an archer, a healer, and a mage. And you can fill out your 4 party slots with any of these guys so that if you happen to be a healer and you need some firepower, go out into the instance and these henchmen are AI controlled. Now, on the box it says skillful. I wouldn't so much say skillful as I would say retarded, maybe.
Skillful like an epileptic leper. Epileptic leper.
The AI is completely terrible. I have used the henchmen. They've usually been more trouble than they're worth. The warrior in particular likes to run off and aggressively attack things 50 yards away.
There is a way in there to actually change the mode of your henchman to have it be aggressive, defensive, hold your ground kind of a thing. That way you can make your warrior just basically say, run around and protect me. Attack only things that are either A, attacking me, or B, that I attack. I still love the fact that you have these mighty adventurers that slay dragons, yet they're picking up badger toenails and cat whiskers and bat wings.
The last thing here on the box is saying, be the best. Ascend as a team to the highest levels of competition, a truly global tournament to control the Hall of Heroes. I guess that little paragraph, which is last and in the lower right corner, should have been bold with a 200-point font and on the cover, like, PvP is this game. Because that's the game. That paragraph, do a bunch of stuff, wasting tons and tons of time to go PvP with your friend. I mean, that's really the one-line summary.
People are really into PvP. We're just really type of people.
I think what we were hoping for was, like he kept saying, all we wanted was a nice casual MMO that doesn't require a tremendous amount of effort for the four of us to sit down, play for 20 minutes, then, oh crap, we all got work tomorrow, so better go to sleep. And all it ended up being was PvP game that's going to end up being completely for power builders, less to do with actual role-playing and making a guy that you wanted rather than making a guy that can win.
The word role-play. As soon as you create a character, you have two options, and you decide, do you want to create a role-playing character or a PvP character? I, along with everybody else, picked role-playing, assuming that it would be more along the lines of role-playing, not so much the PvP, lest we find out that it is PvP, whether you like it or not.
It's almost like, do you want to start off with a PvP character, or do you want to waste 40 hours of your life to prepare to be a PvP character?
The PvP character is like a pre-made, already level 20 character. You select the primary class, the secondary class, you do name him, then you just immediately create your guy, and you jump into the guild, and I try that. And I was horribly confused. I picked like a paladin, which is a warrior primary and a priest secondary, and I was lost. I had 8 skills at the bottom, no idea what any of them meant, so I walked out into this thing with 3 other guys who I didn't know who they were, and I got attacked by a whole bunch of other players, and I'm hovering my mouse over each skill to see, all right, which one is the heal, which one is, up? Oh, I'm dead already. Okay, well, that was good.
Well, see, that's why I need the role-playing character. So you have 20 levels to get used to all your skills, then you can do PvP. So it does have a point, and we're complaining for no reason.
That's a pretty stupid point.
I don't want to be all negative. It's just so disappointing that we each spent $50 expecting basically Diablo 3, and we got this PvP game. It has a mini-map in the corner. You can draw arrows. It's so handy. Now, we have TeamSpeak, so we don't need it as much, so we just use it to swear at each other and draw boobies on the screen.
Yeah.
They have a fairly decent RPG game there as well. It's just the RPG game happens to be training you so that you can play the PvP game. It wouldn't be that difficult for them to kind of spawn off a RPG game with little or no effort. Tweak some stuff. Make parties of up to 8 instead of 4.
I don't want people to come away with this feeling that our review is so negative. We're all just really ticked off. You're not into PvP. Why would you waste your time with the single player game? As fun as it may be.
Yeah, it's called Guild Wars. Yeah, the whole point is to war against guilds. But along with their lack of documentation on how to play the game, there was actually quite a bit of lack of here's what this game is about. The hype was all, yeah, this is kind of Diablo 3. It was designed by designers of Diablo. It's going to be cool. There's going to be all these features. I went to Best Buy. I picked up the box. I read the whole thing before I bought it, and it sounded really cool. As a consumer, I was unaware of what I was purchasing. I honestly, as all of us clearly did not realize that I was buying a PvP game. This is not a negative review of the game overall. It's a negative review of the fact that we all bought a game that we didn't want.
If you like PvP, this game is the llama's nipples. It's wonderful. It does so much stuff right. PvP,
I like the phrase. Llama's nipples. I'm going to use that.
If you like PvP, I mean, if you're in Warcraft and you're raiding towns and you're in City of Heroes doing the Colosseum and stuff, pick up this game. It's great. I remember last week we were going to do this review. I'm kind of glad that we didn't, so kudos, Bob, for making us not talk about it, because we would all give it a 10 out of 10, and then this week we would have revoked all of that because we would have said, oh my gosh, you guys should really see what the real game was about.
Next topic.
Best in-person multiplayer console. We had posed the question last week, what was the best multiplayer in-person console? What I mean by that is everybody in the same room, not on the internet, not online. We had 11 votes only. So, okay, we got to start somewhere. Out of the 11, 8 people said Nintendo. Picked off a couple of the comments from the forums. Patrick Hancock, the only games Nintendo has that are multiplayer are offline. Stealth Sniper said Nintendo and Xbox both have 4 controller ports, so that's kind of puts those up there. But overwhelmingly, everybody said Nintendo. Xbox was second. The couple people that did say Xbox was second was primarily because of Halo and Halo 2, and they played that in person. Does anybody not agree that Nintendo is the best in-person console game?
I would agree.
All
right, so there isn't even really any discussion. Everybody over here, everybody on the forums, there. For all the times that we've cracked on Nintendo, they finally won something.
It's all about the Super Monkey Ball.
Super Monkey Ball, Super Mario Kart.
I love that game.
Beach Spikers. Heather's typing, saying she voted PS2. You're in the minority, I'm sorry.
Your opinion really doesn't matter. Anyway, back to saying how great Nintendo was.
What I was trying to think was next week's question. You know, have you ever used BitTorrent? And I'll put up either yes, you use BitTorrent, no, you have not ever tried BitTorrent, or that you have no idea what BitTorrent is. www.dreamstation.cc. Go into the forums, and then you can vote under that poll, and then any good comments that we have, grab a couple of them, we'll read them on the air.
Next topic.
The next topic could really flare up into a big, huge discussion, but the IMEA, which is some sort of authoritative group in California, they had rejected and then reevaluated and accepted the Yee Bill. What the Yee Bill says is that it's illegal to sell video games with violent, mature content to people under 18. This isn't a law yet. I believe it's a bill. And I don't remember the Schoolhouse Rock song, so I don't know what the next step is. I think it's probably not going to happen. I mean, I don't think it's going to get past whatever the next court's going to be. You do think it will?
One, you're also talking California. They just do stupid things like that. They pass a lot of things that most other states wouldn't pass. It'll end up being a leave it up to the state thing, because the federal government will not want to get involved. Anytime you're trying to censor someone's right, they don't like it. And then based on how it does in California is how other states will look at and or adopt it.
If parents weren't so stupid today, then there wouldn't have to be a law.
That was me cheering.
It doesn't affect me. I'm over 30 years old. I could care less if they will refuse to sell a rated M game to minors. When my child eventually does get that old, it's not going to make a difference if they sell it to him or not, because if he brings the thing home and I see decapitated heads and gratuitous booby shots, I'm not going to let my kid play it.
Play it yourself.
Right. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
Parents are retarded and they're stupid and they wonder why their kids are all messed up. It's because they're not being
parents. Everyone's just looking for someone else to A, babysit their kid, or B, blame because your kid's a delinquent. Video games have always been an easy target. Playing Grand Theft Auto made the kid go do this. Didn't make the kid do anything. The kid went and did it.
Next topic.
The UMD format for the PlayStation Portable was cracked. There were dumps of ISOs. For those that don't know, ISOs are disk images. There were dumps of ISOs across all kinds of various pirate sites, forums, underground sites. So you can take these ISOs and you can burn them to a DVD or a CD. Now, that doesn't mean that you can play them. You can't burn a CD and stick it in your PlayStation Portable. What it does mean, however, is that it's a step in the right direction if you're on the hacking side of it. For Sony, it's a step backwards because they don't want their format, their proprietary format, being cracked. So they can take this ISO now, and people are going to use this to reverse engineer, the goal being that they'll be able to run code, executable stuff, off of the memory stick. And as a matter of fact, if you have a first generation, non-firmware updated Japanese version of the PlayStation Portable, you can put executable code on the memory card, and you can run it, which Sony really does not want, because what that means then is that it opens up the competition. People can write little things, Tetris, little address books, stick them on your memory card and run them.
Pretty much turns it into a very tiny laptop.
While we're kind of on the topic of PSPs, the PSP was launched in Korea. All kinds of trauma and headache and tragedy. Dead pixels everywhere. Big hassle to return everything. So I have a PSP. I didn't have any dead pixels. I didn't have any hassles or horror stories. Maybe we're in the minority.
I have a Best Buy plan that says when I drop it in the toilet, I can take it back and get a new one, so I don't really care.
Despite our Nintendo bashing and our apparent fanboyism for Sony, I think the general consensus was we're not advising you go buy a PSP right now. They're too expensive.
That's my personal statement. Yeah.
And I had to laugh when you mentioned dropping it in the toilet, because since it is a portable gaming device, you know, half of its time is used.
50% of its use is actually seen in the latrine.
Yeah. If you think about it too hard, it's gross, but yeah, we're not going to get into that right now either. If I seem overly anxious to let people borrow my PSP, just remember that fact. No. Press circle.
Yeah, I'm good.
Press the
I'll
circle
just wait
button.
A couple months and get my own. Thanks.
Next topic.
Okay, we have Xbox 360 news. We're almost getting tired of hearing about Xbox 360, but the reason I bring this up is because
I am.
The MTV show is this Thursday. They're going to premiere the... I know. The worldwide premiere of Xbox 360 will be by our friend Frodo on MTV on Thursday night.
Fantastic. I'll set my TiVo. Oh, wait. No, I won't.
I'm already telling you, I'm not going to watch that simply because it's MTV.
I think I'm going to. I'm not real happy about it.
You're only encouraging them to do it more.
But he has to maintain his journalistic integrity, so he has to watch, so he can report about it.
That's exactly right. The MTV premiere was actually taped a couple days ago. Somebody with a camera phone had taken pictures of the console. They got pictures of the console, the controller, a headset, and some sort of camera eye toy device. They're all white. They do appear wireless, so it looks like the controllers are wireless. It was a kind of a small picture. I'm sure we'll see more on Thursday, but MTV also slipped, and word got out that in November will be the release date, so the Xbox, rumor has it will be out in November of this year.
Supposedly for $300, or you could get a bundle pack which has an extra controller, a DVD remote, a 20 gig or 40 gig hard drive, and all that bundle is going to cost $360. Imagine that.
I'm interested if they're going to use like infrared or if they're going to use Bluetooth for the wireless.
Only wireless stuff I've ever liked is the WaveBird Nintendo controllers.
Nintendo's getting all kinds of props today.
I know, we're going to have to change that.
The only complaint I have about the WaveBird is that the controller doesn't vibrate, but then you're asking a little too much out of a device that runs off of AA batteries.
That brings up a good point, is that I wonder how that the Xbox stuff's going to be powered. If I have a wireless headset, a wireless controllers, am I going to have to buy the console for $300-$400 and then $2,000 worth of double AAA batteries?
Next topic.
We get to make fun of Electronic Arts. Their fourth quarter profit plunged. It was a 91% profit drop. They lost $5.96 per share, and they're predicted to lose even more in the next quarter. They've bought up a couple small publishers. They're publishing every single game now that you see, and yet somehow they lost 91% profit, and their shares dropped by $6.
They're going to plummet right now. You spend the money to buy something. You just shelled out this ridiculous amount of expense, and you don't have the cash inflow yet to counteract it. So it's not like you buy something and you instantly just pick up where they left off. You have this huge amount of money you just paid for it that's basically goes against your profit. So it'll be a while before you see if they're actually doing something or not with it.
I'm glad you're
on the show. Did that make sense, or do I need to elaborate on it?
Little accounting advice. No, I didn't even think of it that way. That makes sense. They're EA. They're going to bounce back. I'm for competition in the video game market, and EA is buying up the little guy, and it's getting harder and harder for independent publishers to get games. So things like this make me smirk. Now, that being said, I own 90% of the games I own are EA because they have the best sports titles even when there was competition, so.
Next topic.
Our beloved City of Heroes, the Colosseum, is live. You can now do player versus player fighting.
Oh, you're in for a treat. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's still a little buggy. I mean, little stupid stuff, like there's no sound when you teleport into the arena, and there's no way to pick what map you want to choose, and, you know, for the most part, that'll be fixed rather quickly, I'm assuming. That's just little nitpicky stuff, but the basic functionality's there. How they balanced out all the powers to work in PvP seemed to work pretty well, though the tankers might be a little overpowered. I haven't done much in the way of team versus team yet, but as far as the solo play goes, it was pretty good.
Your regular standard brawl has a chance to stun the guy for a split second and knock one of his toggle powers off. So in Bob's case, I have a blaster. I have to walk up to him, brawl him, hope that his defense is dropped so then I can shoot flames at him, and it just wasn't happening. I mean, I'm a blaster. We were complaining about Guild Wars for quite a while. The best part of this is that it's a complete add-on. You don't have to do any of it if you don't want to. And World of Warcraft had something similar. The problem with that was a side effect was if you didn't want player versus player, other players could come in and kill all the NPCs in your city, so you were affected. With this, it's a Colosseum. You have to go to this arena specifically. It's in certain zones. I know there's one in Talos Island, and you have to sign up for an arena fight. You pick your participants, and you can pick a bunch of different options, like what level. You can pick different options as far as deathmatch, or you want to have last man standing, or you each get X number of lives, and the last guy to stay alive, you know, and you get points based on knockouts and stuff. So if you want to do it, go for it. If you don't, completely ignore it. The other side of the patch was that they added a whole bunch of new Asian kind of inspired anime costumes. They have kimonos and the chopsticks and the hairdo.
How do those look, by the way?
I think they look
pretty good. It was a lot of robes and jackets were pretty much the big ones, and you can now adjust the proportions of your character, get real nitpicky about it, adjust like facial features
nose
and
length.
You know, your waist size, chest size, for a lot more variation. It was already the best game for customizing your character, so kudos
and,
to
and when did this go live?
City Heroes last Friday, I think.
For all the perverts out there, you can adjust the women's chest size, so you can make a small chick with giant legs, skinny waist, and to typical comic book proportions, so now it mimics the comic book a little bit more. So I think that'll do it for this week. You have been listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. Please check out the website. We have news, forums. You can set your podcast feed up there.
If you'd be so kind as to head over to Podcast Alley, vote for us. We would greatly appreciate it. If you do have any questions that you would like us to answer, topics you'd like us to discuss, or any feedback or suggestions, you can email us at videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. I'm still kind of on the lookout for theme music, intro and exiting music. If you guys have any pod-safe music, what I mean by pod-safe is that it's not copyrighted, or you are the author or the publisher and you give me express permission to include a snippet, you know, 5 or 10 seconds at the beginning and at the end, that would be great. Please get in touch with me. Don't email a big giant MP3 file. Just get in touch with me, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc, and we'll set something up, a way for you to get the music to me.
Aside from that, we will see you guys back next week. We thank you for listening. Does anybody else have anything else to say?
See everybody next week.
Thank you, Drive Through.
All right, thanks and good night.